Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Rich, we're at the Houston Sports Hall of Fame ring ceremony. And so last night, as I'm anticipating our being here for this show, I got to thinking about Halls of Fame. And I started thinking about how lucky we are to be in the city that we're in right now, covering these sports teams that we're covering, in particular the Astros, the Rockets, and the Texans. And you can say what you want about the performance of each of those teams. The Rockets are at the very tippy top of their sport. Or I'm sorry, the Astros are at the very tippy top. The Rockets are pretty close, as Daryl Morey just said in the previous segment. And I think we're all hoping the Texans are trending in the right direction. Undeniably, the Texans have some star power on that team, which brings me to the topic I teased into this. It got me wondering, how many future Hall of Famers are we covering, are you and I covering right now? How many future Hall of Famers?
Well, neither one of us did the deep dive I'm about to mention, but a deeper dive that would be really cool, and maybe I'll do this over the weekend or something. But pick, like, we all agree this is the golden age of pro sports in Houston. What's the second best era of Houston pro sports? And if you took that era, what kind of a list could you come up with? You know, that maybe encompasses Love You Blue, the Rockets of the 90s, although those aren't exactly the same era.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
Save that, because we can use that, if not later in the show, we can do it later this week. I like that, because I have a few little windows that popped into my head immediately.
I mean, the Houston Sports Hall of Fame is the only evidence you need of how much greatness we've been blessed with from a sports standpoint in this town. But I don't know if there's really an argument. There's more greatness on the floor, on the field, on the court, whatever you want to say, in this town right now than I think there's ever been.
Yeah, individual greatness for sure. For sure. Star power, galore. So, Rich, in terms of guys that we can confidently say at this point have at least a sliver of hope, and by sliver I mean even like a 10 or 20% chance of the Hall of Fame, I came up with, it looks like
11
names.
Yeah, and I can't argue with any of these names.
11 names, and I attached a percentage to each of them.
I'm with you.
So why don't we start with the obvious ones? I think there are...
No, not Brad Peacock.
No, not Brad.
No.
I was wondering what that noise was.
Someday, maybe.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No. Maybe a guy who doesn't have to buy a drink ever, but that's not Hall of Famer.
Right.
I think there are three. You may think there's more, and my guess is you do think there are more.
I think there's four.
Okay, I think there are three. Like, they could walk away now, shut it down, leave the game, and they're in their Halls of Fame. I think James Harden and Chris Paul are locks for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
No question about it.
100%. I think J.J. Watt would have been a lock even if he hadn't made it back from his catastrophic injury to make the Football Hall of Fame.
Right. The barometer for us in this conversation should be if they stopped playing their chosen sport today, would they be Hall of Famers? And I think the next name you're about to mention qualifies.
The other name besides Paul Harden and Watt is Justin Verlander, who I put at 90%.
Right, so we're really splitting hairs here, but I would put it at 100%. I think if Verlander's career ended today, knock on wood, gosh, I can't believe I said that out loud, but if for some reason Verlander was done, I think he's a Hall of Famer now.
The only thing I would say about that, Rich, I think the thing he has going for him, obviously, other than just being a great player who's made a ton of All-Star games and been in the top five in the
Cy Young of dominance
half a dozen times. Here's where my 10% of trepidation comes in with Verlander. Because I'm with you. I would vote for Justin Verlander. I think my putting him at 90% is an indication I would vote for Justin Verlander. Here's where my only trepidation is about making him the same lock that Harden and Paul and Watt are. And it's a couple of things. One, we're immersed in the renaissance of Justin Verlander right now. So I have to take a step back sometimes and go, okay, are we a little bit too close? And when I do that, I go back and I look and I say to myself, well, he was for about 5 years before the Astros traded for him, kind of a slightly above average pitcher in Detroit. If you go look at his numbers in Detroit from 2013 through about the time he was traded to the Astros, his ERA was in the high threes. It was like a 3.7 ERA.
Well, I want to say that there were some...
This Astros stint, Rich, sorry, has rejuvenated him and gotten him back in that conversation.
Yeah, honestly, the greatness that came before that very short dip and the greatness that as follows erases any doubt for me whatsoever.
Yeah.
15 years of a dominant pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, I just don't think, like I said, we're kind of splitting hairs here. Well, I think we'd all agree that those four guys are getting
in. Well, I'll just bring up a couple of names. Names like Kurt Schilling, who hasn't gotten in. You know, if you do a similarity score, Schilling and Verlander are very, very similar, you know, in terms of their profile. Good postseason numbers, similar regular season numbers. Mike Mussina took a really, really long time to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, took several years. So that's the only reason I put it at 90%. Moving on down after those four, because I think those are the four that you can feel really, really confident about. Next on the list for me is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
I have him at 65%.
I might go a little higher there also, but certainly not 90 or 100% because he has work to do.
He has work to do.
On his Hall of Fame resume, and he's given us pause at least a little bit this season, knowing that he's not infallible. He's not invulnerable. He's a guy who may fall privy to some lower body injuries that could... I don't want to say derail, but slow down his quest for Cooperstown.
It's crazy to think Altuve's not even 30 yet. I mean, as long as it feels like he's been on the Astros, he's not even 30 yet. He's got three batting titles.
Four times he's led the league in hits.
Yeah, he's got four 200-hit seasons. He won an MVP in 2017. He's now on a team where he's going to be making memories in the postseason pretty much every year for at least the next 4 or 5 years, which matters when it comes to these types of arguments. I'm with you, Rich. My only concern about Altuve is, one, does he continue to maintain that immortal-type bat speed that he has through the strike zone into his older years? And, yeah, he's small. Can his body hold up to the pounding of 162 games? Recent history would say no, that he can't.
Yeah, he's going to wind up with probably 400-plus doubles. He's going to wind up with 400-plus steals. You know, the hit total is going to approach Hall of Fame status. He's already almost halfway to 3,000. So
six All-Star games.
Yeah, he's absolutely on a Hall of Fame track.
Yeah.
But again, this year has reminded us that he's not invulnerable to injury and that, you know, hopefully it won't be as much of a concern moving forward as it's been over the last year or so, but it's been significant.
I guess put simply, unlike the previous four guys, he's not a guy who could walk away right now and be a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
He's on the track.
Got a little work to do.
That's a good way to put it. He's on a track. The next one down on the list for me, and again, Jose Altuve added 65%. If you're wondering what it is we're talking about, Rich and I are going through the players here in Houston right now that we think have a chance to be future Hall of Famers. We mentioned Watt, Harden, and Paul, and Verlander as either locks or virtual locks. Altuve on that track. Next one on the list for me is DeAndre Hopkins. I have him at 55%. I think he's a little bit better than a coin flip to make the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, I absolutely consider him sort of in the same vein as Altuve. On that track, heading in the right direction, needs to stay healthy. But the most encouraging thing about DeAndre Hopkins is he's finally got his franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to matter early in his career that he didn't have his franchise quarterback because he still put up mind-bending numbers and still was a phenomenal talent. It's all about health. If DeAndre Hopkins stays healthy, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was Brock. That was Brock that B-Mac just dropped on us.
Now, we say that knowing it's not easy for wide receivers to get in the Hall of Fame. Wide receivers have been, from a Hall of Fame standpoint, maybe devalued a little bit as the passing game has grown in popularity.
Well, here's the luxury we have in Houston, Rich, is we have a pretty easy comparison for DeAndre Hopkins because he was preceded by a guy that's in the Hall of Fame conversation. Andre Johnson's not a lock to go into the Hall of Fame by any means. In fact, I think some would argue that Andre probably hovers around 55 or 60% to get into the Hall of Fame. And the problems for Andre are not really his fault. The problems for Andre are that he played in four playoff games his whole career as a Texan.
Yeah.
And that he never had a double-digit touchdown catch season, which is not a reflection of his greatness. It's a reflection of scheme and quarterbacks.
And he never played with a great quarterback.
He didn't. He never played with a Deshaun Watson, that's for sure.
No doubt.
And so if we're going to sit here and talk about Andre Johnson being a fringe Hall of Famer, I think you feel a little bit better about DeAndre Hopkins because he's he's like, through the first six seasons, his stats are very similar to Andre Johnson's, only a little bit gaudier in some ways.
Especially in the touchdown category.
He's a double-digit touchdown guy.
I think DeAndre Hopkins, with all due respect to Andre Johnson and everything he's meant to this city and this franchise, DeAndre Hopkins is on a fast track to being the greatest wide receiver in Texans history.
I'll say this, and I've said this about DeAndre Hopkins before, Rich. I'll say this about him, is that I think we've seen what peak DeAndre Hopkins looks like. Peak DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying his career's better than Andre's. Andre's career is a completely closed book. Now we know what it is. Who knows what happens with D-Hop? But if we're just taking snapshots and going, DeAndre Hopkins at his best. DeAndre Hopkins at his best is the best receiver that's played for this franchise. Andre Johnson at his best is right there with DeAndre. But DeAndre Hopkins at his best is an alien. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I have him at 55% right now. Again, work to do.
No, I couldn't agree more. And what the interesting part of it is, we're talking about mentor and pupil, right? DeAndre Hopkins, in his first couple of years in the league, followed Andre Johnson around like a puppy and imitated everything he did.
Yep. All right, so now we get into the ones where it's a lot of spec. Okay, so those are the six that I feel are greater than a coin flip. Four of them are locks.
Are we missing anybody?
I don't think so. That are in that greater than 50% category. Yeah. Do you think we are?
No, I don't think so. Nobody comes to mind.
No. I tried to think, are there any guys like a Chris Paul who's here at the tail end of his career that were just, you know, like if Ed Reed, if it were 2013, we were having this conversation, we'd mention Ed Reed as 100%, but he just happens to be a Texan. He did all that work as a Raven. There's five names I have left on the list, Rich, and let me see if you agree with these. I have Deshaun Watson, 25%. A 1-in-4 chance right now.
I think that's fair. I mean, he's still very much in the infancy of his pro football career. He's obviously flashed signs of greatness, but he's also broken a rib and punctured a lung along the way, facilitating a bus ride to Jacksonville. So I almost feel like it's as much on Deshaun Watson as it is perhaps on the Texans as a franchise to get him to Canton, Ohio.
Yep. Alex Bregman, 25%.
Boy, that's a hot take.
Oh, wow.
Because also a guy who, relatively speaking, is in the infancy of his professional career.
That's why he's 25%. It's not like I put him at 68% or something.
Right. Yeah. But he's a guy, I mean, he...
Rich, let me just give you a couple things.
It's a bad week to talk about Alex Bregman because he's hitting some home runs, but that's about it.
Well, Rich, you've been watching baseball long enough. I would expect more out of you, that you would take a look at a six-game snapshot and cast aspersions on the overarching career that is Alex Bregman.
Of course.
Let me just give you a couple of things here with Bregman. Obviously, he's quickly become the gold standard for third baseman in the American League. He ran away with the All-Star voting, and I know that that's fans doing that, but I think it's indicative of the level of dominance he has at that position in the American League right now. He was in the top five for the MVP last year. He'll get that average back up this year. The power numbers, he's a guy I think you can pencil him in at the end of the year. That's why the Astros gave him all that money. The two most similar players at age 24 for Alex Bregman, Rich, statistically, Nolan Arenado and Chipper Jones. Mm. You know, at third base, I'm saying. So, so again, 25%. You know, so if I were giving you a long-range bet, you know, I'm essentially saying, would you bet 3-1 on Alex Bregman being a Hall of Famer someday? You're right. Maybe I'm being a little too generous. There's a lot of baseball to be played.
Actually, I think I would pretty much think the number, in my opinion, is on the money, and I'd probably take that wager on Alex Bregman, because Alex Bregman feels like a guy that could be over there at third base for the Astros for another decade.
Three more names on the list, and this is where, if you're listening, you're going, really? That guy? Come on. Too soon. Again, I'm going to give you percentages that indicate that we realize it's very early. Carlos Correa, 20%.
I might go a little lower just because the last year and a half, he's not been able to answer the bell a lot. And he's got to really get over these hurdles and start carving out an Iron Man reputation for himself as a guy who's out there, you know, game in and game out for weeks and months and years without missing big chunks and having injuries affect his performance before maybe I'm going to go 20%.
Here's an interesting follow-up to that then, because I have George Springer next on the list at 10%. Would you bet on George Springer? You got to pick one. If neither of them make the Hall of Fame, then you get your money back. But you got to pick one. You've got $100. You got to put it on one or the other. Would you put it on Correa or Springer to make the Hall of Fame?
I think it's very close. I think I would go Springer, only because, number one, Springer, before he got hurt this season, is clearly in the American League MVP conversation. He's risen to that level of play. And number two, the World Series MVP means a lot to me.
Yeah.
It means that he's capable of rising to the occasion when the spotlight burns the brightest and be at his best, and that's what Hall of Famers do.
This is going to sound weird. Of those two players, I would rather the Astros keep – if you're asking me which one I want on this team through 2025 or 2024 maybe, you know, for the next 5 years, I would probably pick Springer over Correa.
Is that because of somebody's YouTube account?
No. It's a fair question, though. But no, it has nothing to do with that. It has more to do with Springer than Correa, Rich. It's because of what Springer means behind the scenes to this team. I think he's every bit. I think he's probably a better player right now in 2019 than Correa, just because Springer seems to have taken this leap before the hamstring injury,
yeah,
where he's putting up these monster numbers. But he is 5 or 6 years older than Correa, which is going to. This is the weird part. While I would rather Springer be an Astro for the next 5 years, I think if I had the $100, I'd put it on Correa over Springer for this argument, because Correa's got 5 extra years to build a resume, and he doesn't have to do that in Houston. He could do that somewhere else.
True.
Yeah.
And as expected, the Astros have activated Springer for tonight's game, yep, along with Colin McHugh. And I think Springer's expected to be right there in the leadoff spot tonight for the Astros. And boy, have they missed him. An MVP candidate at the leadoff spot with a lot of power. And I know you've seen the numbers just as I have. In his absence, the production from the Astros' leadoff spot has been among the worst in MLB.
Yeah, Jose Altuve's leadoff home run Sunday notwithstanding.
That's right.
That was a bomb. But up until then, they hadn't scored a run in the first 3 innings in the previous 7 games during that losing streak. So, yeah, they need George Springer back. Last one, Rich, as we head towards the top of the hour. Jadeveon Clowney, 10%.
Yeah.
Again, 10%. So you're basically talking a 9-1 shot here.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least a 9-1 shot, in my opinion. I mean, not that he hasn't been a very good player to this point in his career, but I think he's got a long way to go to get to Canton, Ohio.
Well, he's 5 years in already. He's had medical issues. He has been a 3-time Pro Bowler, so there are things there where you go, okay, there's a good player in there somewhere. The reason why I only have it at 10%, well, the reason he's on the list is because he does have superhuman physical traits, and he has been a productive player. The reason he's only at 10% is because he needs to start living up to being the number one overall pick for 5 consecutive years going into his early 30s, and I just don't know that that's going to happen.
I think 10% is fair.
Yeah.
It could go up, but right now that's where that number needs to be. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.